confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. Jesus called his disciples together and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must first be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This has been the word of the Lord.
Show you how Mark differs from those Gospels. And I want to give you a sense of the distinctives of Mark and its focus. And then I'll just tell you a brief little mini biography of Mark, just telling you a little bit about his life. Now, the reason for this is that I'm a reader, I love to read history. And when I read, I know something about the author. It helps me to appreciate what's going on. So I'm going never to do that. So it'll be a little different sermon than you would get most Sundays, but it's important because it's setting the context for the next 15 weeks of looking at Mark. And then we'll look at the stories of Mark. I'll explain more of that later. This is a little different, but same God, same Holy Spirit, and let's seek God to speak through His Word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we've heard Your holy Word. Speak through Your Word. Speak through me. In Jesus the Christ. Four different personality types. Matthew is kind of like what they would call an SJ. He was very detail-oriented. For those of you that are much older and dragnet, just the facts, man, just the facts. He's sort of that way. He's sort of like the teacher. He's got lists. He's sort of like the engineer. He's structured it. Focus is the Jews or the Hebrews. He wants to reach them. And he wants to be a good messianic Jew. the light of the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among you. I love to read John because it's sort of sends a spiritual ripples through me. Even though I don't understand it, it just kind of makes sense. And he has if Matthew focuses on Christ the King, Luke focuses on the Son of Man. John focuses on the Son of God. Now, Mark. Now, most people say Mark was the first gospel that was written. We don't know. But if you're a professor, you need something to argue about. So, it probably was the first written by first or something else. I guess scholars would say. And it's assumed to have been written the earliest. People are writing about it, said it was written by John Mark. And we'll look at who John Mark was. And he was, and we'll come back to it a little bit more, he was probably a disciple of Peter. And he also grew up around Jesus, and we'll come back to that. So he's a disciple of Peter. So some scholars have said the Gospel of Mark could be called the Gospel of Peter, because Peter comes out quite clearly. We'll also see later that he also spent time with Paul, and we'll look at his uncle Barnabas, etc. He is focused particularly towards the Romans, because he was in Rome most probably during the martyrdom of Paul and Peter. And in his style, he has more Latin words in his gospel than any of the others. Really, to understand him, he is a storybook. It's a succession of stories, often or incidents where he's telling. And it's just telling what happened. How many of you like to tell stories? Do you have a favorite story? You see how we began during the greeting time? And he jumps off into a story. The next story, people that go fast, by the way. You know, that's so eager to tell you the story. But what do you like with an option figure? This must be better than the first one. He's such a hurry. So he has a sense of urgency. And the book is written in a series of stories. And he's not terribly focused on what Jesus said. Jesus did, and indirectly on what Jesus can do for you. It is the most translated book of the New Testament, or the Old Testament, for that matter. The part of the shortest at 16 chapters. So it gets translated a lot, because there's not a lot of dialogue. It's easy for translation as you're describing events that happen, and it gets to it, and there's this awesome sense of urgency about Mark that I love. If you read through his Gospels, by the way, how many of you in the next 16 weeks are going to read through the Gospel of Mark? Those of you that didn't raise your hand, pray on it. It is a real opportunity to grow through the stories of Jesus. It is to make Jesus' story, or stories, your stories. And as you read through it, you'll say, immediately, Jesus went into this, or straightforwardly, Jesus did this. And like any good story, when you were telling each other what you liked about whoever, whether it was real or fictional, there was one who said to me, her father, that he was the most wonderful man, most wonderful father. Okay? sort of a busy book and a fast book. Now, for you linear thinkers, I didn't even know what a linear thinker was until my wife told me. For you linear thinkers, if you go one story at a time, the story won't be linear. It's just the next story that may not establish how it relates. And in fact, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, Mark and I are going to try to put a bunch of these stories together to see how they relate. It's not something probably Mark would have done. But I probably am a great deal more like John. So I'm trying to tie it together to think of the essence of it. Mike was a teacher, so he may do it a little bit more like Matthew. But we'll tie these together and look at them and get a sense of it. I think it'll be a joy to you. Now, as we read this, we will see how amazing Jesus is. If you read the first chapter, in the other chapter, it describes John the Baptist, the Transfiguration, dealing with a sick mother-in-law, I think, healing a leper, and dealing with demons. That's not the sequence. It must be too much like Mark if you remember the sequence. But that's like in the chapter. But you'll get this sense of, wow, can you imagine Jesus did that? He makes a couple of things that we need to incorporate in our lives. Now, just to do this, we're going to do this artificially, mechanically, dully. You should be able to handle that. Now, everyone say, wow. Okay. Now, let's try it with healing. Mark is going to do for us is begin to put a little of the wow factor back into our lives. Because that's what Mark's doing. He's reading it. He's going, wow. Awesome. This is awesome. And Jesus was awesome. There's a portion in there where it says that Jesus spoke as one who had authority. Now, the reason that that's so important and special, and we'll come to it more, and I don't want to preach the whole book now. In Jesus' time, the rabbis told you, if you had a good idea and you wanted to share it, find an old rabbi in a book or someone who said the same thing and then claim it as yours. Said, I agree with Rabbi so-and-so. Rabbi Hillel, the period, he said those that really spoke with authority didn't even refer to another rabbi. But that's pretty courageous, because who are you to think you didn't need another rabbi to come up with? And Mark realizes that Jesus speaks as the Son of God, as Jesus the Messiah. It's like a whole new beginning. There are three beginnings in the scripture that are really pretty awesome. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In John, in the beginning, be honest, in the crowd. And he was so caught up in what Jesus was doing now that he just skips it, you know. And he said, Matthew, Luke, and Ben, I would have hoped to anyhow. The beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it runs through the same gospel. The Greek word, and Greek was a sort of the common language of the world, a little bit like English is now. When it said gospel, it was like, it's like the inauguration of a king or a president. And they were proclaiming the good news of this beginning. Good news of a new beginning. That's how the Romans would have looked at it. And he's ministering to the Romans and he says, the beginning of the good news of an inauguration, of a coronation, of a life changing, a world changing event of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the absence of a genealogy. Just a few statements about Mark to remember. Mark begins and ends with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So if you've had a conversation with him, it wouldn't be long before he's talking about Jesus Christ and his power or his love available to the situation. And when the conversation was beginning to end, it wouldn't be long before he would talk about Jesus Christ, because he sought to live his life from beginning to end and to permeate the middle of Jesus Christ, and it makes him powerful. It makes him powerful. Now, a little bit of a brief story of John Mark. His mother was one of the three major Marys in the scriptures. Mary, the mother of Jesus, then Mary, the mother of James and John, related to Jesus, and Mary, brother of Barnabas. And this Mary, by the way, we see in the book of Acts that they often held the church in their house later. By the way, if you're going to have a group at your house, if there's, let's say there's 10 of you, and you're deciding whose house you're going to go to, and you figure maybe we'll have 50 to 100 people, how do you pick the house? Now, the biggest house, the number one building, because willingness and size. Willingness and size. And Mary must have had a real heart for the things of God. And she was rich. And straight up, she was rich. So Mark is a rich kid. He's a rich kid, really. I mean, he gets whatever he wants. Doesn't everybody love a rich kid? You know, rich kid, you went to the public schools, and all your friends say, I'm so glad you're rich, and I'm not. To be honest, I wouldn't know. But he's a rich kid, and that's not bad. It just is. And he has servants. But one of the things we're going to see in Mark as he seeks to surrender to Jesus Christ, it's in Mark 10, and we'll come back to it. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve. In Jesus, he finds a purpose that's more important than the things of his life. There's a lot of stories about Jesus talking to the rich man. And what do you suppose was happening when Jesus is telling a story to a rich man? How closely is Mark listening? How profoundly is he affected? So as you all, not just being stubborn, I'm being optimistic, as you all read the Gospel of Mark, and you see these passages about rich people, realize this is Jesus affecting Mark and speaking through his desire for a purpose beyond things. And he's grabbing hold of it. And you see the stories of servanthood and Mark's desire of it. His mother lived in Jerusalem. But that tells us he was not only a rich kid. Jerusalem is the biggest city in the part of the world. So he was a city kid. And he's starting to be exposed to more stuff out in the country. And it just helps to realize it's a part of his background. Now, a few key events that happened in his life. One, he must have known about Jesus and must have had some exposure to John the Baptist. Now, let's just look at this somewhat logically for a minute. Have you ever seen a teenager be caught up in someone who dressed unconventionally? Or who challenged authority? You know, we're just not speaking at all to young people. Because they just sit at your feet waiting for you to tell them what you want them to do. So probably, like, 7 years old, he saw John the Baptist. Just like I saw Rocky Marciano. And said, wow, if you like that, it'd be pretty awesome. He begins to keep track of Jesus somewhat, and he apparently is a friend of Peter. Because later in 1st or 2nd Peter, Peter says that John Mark was a son in the faith game. Okay, a son in the faith. Maybe he really just grew closer to Jesus through Peter, and he was like a disciple of Peter's. And so we know this is pretty serious. And by the way, how many of you that are familiar with Barnabas, which of course means son of encouragement, would it not have been really radical or cool or awesome to have Barnabas as your uncle? I mean, who could ask for better? And so he has this encouraging uncle. Probably, when he's 9 or 10, something happens. It's in Jerusalem. Jesus